This morning we'll be continuing our Model and Guard series through the pastoral epistles, 1st and 2nd Timothy and Titus. The title of this morning's message is No Sunshine Patriots. No Sunshine Patriots. And we'll be in 2nd Timothy chapter. So we can turn there. And we'll read 2nd Timothy chapter 3, verse 10. My aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfast at Lystra, which persecutions I endured. Yet from them all the Lord will be persecuted, while evil people and impostors will go on from bad to worse. But you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it, and how from through faith in Christ Jesus. In verse 16, all Scripture is breathed out righteousness, that the man of God may be competent, equipped for every good work. We ask that you would help us, Lord, that individually, Lord, that we would understand what it is to be a courageous Christian, to walk life, Lord, that we would glorify you in good times, even when we don't feel that we have the strength to continue on, that you would do a mighty work this morning, for it's by your the effective work of we believe, because your word says that it sanctifies every good work. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So no sunshine patriots. Why that? What does that mean? Sounds really nice, right? No? Have you ever heard of that? No? No one's heard of sunshine patriots. How about 23rd, 1776, wrote this. He said, quote, "These are the times that try men's souls. The summer soldier and the sunshine patriot will, stands by it now, deserves the love and thanks of man and woman. Tyranny, that the harder the conflict, the more glorious the triumph. What we obtain too cheap, we esteem too lightly. It is dearness only that gives everything its value. It is strange indeed if so celestial an article as freedom should not be lightly, has declared that she has a right not only to tax, but to bought slavery. Then is there not such a thing as slavery upon earth to God?" Close quote. Thomas Paine. Faith, we can't have any of that. We can't have any deserters. In the battle, in the trenches, we need to continue to go forward. And before, but we're fighting in victory, knowing that we serve the conqueror. Is true. That his promises are. Christian faith, I have to admit, is tough. Is areas. Do you know that you battle with your flesh every day? Go a day without eating. See if your flesh, well, maybe a meal for most of us. Feed me, please, right? May not want certain things, but others, that others want and desire, but flesh. There's also the world. We battle the world every single direction. And it's telling us, you go ahead and draw down your defenses by making you a little bit more that you even perceive and interpret the Christian faith. You see that in everyday language, and that's the world around us. It is We also have one more, and that is Satan. We are not to be deceived as Christians in thinking that he's just this little guy with red come across as that at all. He comes to you as a demons that come are there to do wreak havoc in your life. You need to be careful with his devices. So we fight the flesh. You want to be a sunshine patriot? If so, you'll be taken out. But guess where you get shot? The back. You don't want to get shot in the back. Made for offensive, for advancing. There's no armor in the back. None. Those sandals, by the way, if you go to Ephesians chapter 6 and you understand, dig in, and as you run and you come across your enemy and push forward, if you try and go backwards, guess what? The cleats do nothing for you. You just fall. Are all opposed to us, to the Spirit. Well, first of all, it comes with the original sin, right? The fall of mesh, war against the flesh. We war against the world and we war against Satan. Destroy. He wants to divide. He wants to conquer. He can make you spiritually impotent. Compromise and worldly mimicry that seems spiritual. Think about it. But if Satan can destroy you, he will. And condemnation. John 10:10 says, the thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. Jesus speaking says, I came that they may have life and have it. The devil is always seeking someone to devour, according to faith. Faith is not for those sunshine patriots who will desert their posts and will include persecutions, trials, difficulty, and just straight opposition. Paul tells Timothy in verse 14, in what you have learned and have firmly believed. You have heard the word of God taught. You guys know, church, you know the word. Continue in what you have learned and what you have been taught. As we continue through, is passing on the baton to Timothy. Paul is passing on the baton to young Timothy. Paul knows that this is his last letter. For verses 7 and 8, Paul wrote, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the race. This judge will award to me on that day, and not only me, but also to all there. He knows he is almost done. And so he says, persevere. You got to continue, Timothy. Continue in what you have been taught. Of God will sustain you through thick and thin. You have followed my example. And so I want you to continue. So Paul is readying Timothy. And how? Number one, to understand spiritual endurance and spiritual hardiness. And thirdly, to know spiritual competence. So let's start with the first one, spiritual endurance. Again, going back to verse 10. It says, you, however, have followed my teaching, my conduct, my aim in life, my faith, my patience, my love, my steadfastness. And we can stop there, right? No, he continues. My persecutions and sufferings that I endured, yet from them all the Lord rescued me. Spiritual and there are too many times that I run across and hear a completely anti-biblical manner. Really. Bringing him glory. We need to remember, we need to submit to the Lord and surrender to him that we honor and glorify God. How do we do that? He helps us. Life's hardships. It speaks to whether we know God or not. Whether we... An example of the opposite of spiritual endurance in following Christ are 2, verse 10. And in verse 8, we see Jannes and Jambres. And corrupted in mind and disqualified regarding the faith. And then we need to rest assured that these people will be But there are two men who opposed Moses. These who mimicked a few of the miracles that God did through Moses and Aaron. But that's all genuine. Egypt has always represented the world. Mimicking what God says is the genuine way of life. It's not just up to our own interpretation as to what that is. He describes that in his word. For instance, I heard this before. A bar. And I know this because I used to, right? So I also speak together to share in drink and food, but also to share life struggles and joys with people, encourage each other. Sounds good so far, right? But as they get filled with spirits, alcohol that is, their thoughts are clouded, inhibitions are lifted, but there's absolutely no accountability. Every man is whoever he wants. 1 Peter 5:8 says, be sober-minded, be watchful, your adversary the devil prowls around like a roaring lion. In contrast, a church is a place, right? We like to do that. They fellowship, sharing life's struggles and joys with people who understand God's word, God's character. But there is accountability. Not everyone likes it. But there is, hopefully, prayerfully, is directed to bring destruction and division and separation from the Lord. Paul says, there is a way that seems right to man, but its end is the way to death. Both of these people are guides to life. To others, but they arrive at much different destinations. Much different. Proverbs 12:26 says, "One who is righteous is a guide to his neighbor, but the way of the wicked leads them astray. Fool is right in his own eyes, but a wise man listens to advice." Word of God. Right? The very word of God. Mimics God, but is false, Jannes and Jambres, to what is really endure. Followed. Does that mean that Timothy was doing exactly what Paul was doing? Or, I know hockey is big right now. I think it's the Angels who are playing. Right? So some of you follow, just different things, stats and in the past, others about the different Super Bowls and World Stat. The following that Paul is telling Timothy is that example that Paul has laid out, what he's telling him here, he's saying, listen, you've been at Antioch, you've been at Iconium, right? Especially you have Barnabas, right, that was with in those different situations. So you followed that. You understand that God is glorified. Says now, Paul and his companions set sail from Paphos and came to from Perga, and came to Antioch in Pisidia, and on the prophets, the rulers of the synagogue, sent a message to them saying, "Brothers, if you have any word of encouragement," he continued on, and he preached the gospel and he explained who Jesus was, whom they have crucified, right? So he went on. He had full effect of that time that he was given to proclaim the gospel. It says, as they went out, the people broke up. Many Jews and devout converts to Judaism followed Paul and Barnabas. Next Sabbath, almost the whole city gathered to hear the word of the Lord. Contradict what was spoken by Paul and reviling him. Paul, since you thrust it aside and judge yourselves unworthy of eternal life, behold, Gentiles, that you may bring salvation to the ends of the earth. And when the Gentiles heard this, it to eternal life believed. And the word of the Lord was spreading throughout the whole region. Leading men of the city stirred up persecution against Paul and Barnabas and drove them out of them. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. When they didn't receive him, some did. I mean, started with this, you know, basically murmuring and starting rumors about Paul them out, right? So he still spoke the word to them, for the Lord has commanded us, saying, I have made you a light for the Gentiles, that you know what, since you're not receiving him, you're rejecting the word of God, and you're rejecting Christ, then we'll just take the stop there. That's what was awesome. He took advantage of the opposed God's word. Iconium, and we'll continue on, Acts chapter 14, chapter here, verse 1. Now at Iconium, they entered together into the Jewish synagogue, and Jews stirred up the Gentiles and poisoned their minds against the brothers, who bore witness to the word of his grace, granting signs and wonders to be done by their hands. An attempt was made by both Gentiles and Jews with their rulers to mistreat them and to the surrounding country. And there they continued to preach the gospel. Continues. Here, he remained speaking for the Lord. So they poisoned their minds, they gave them these thoughts, and yet they remained. They stayed right where they were and continued. Lystra will continue. Same chapter. There's a man sitting who could not use his feet. He was crippled from birth and had never walked. To be made well, said in a loud voice, "Stand upright on your feet." And he sprang up and began. Wanian, the gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. Barnabas, they called, of Zeus, whose temple was at the entrance to the city, brought oxen and garlands to them. And Paul heard of it. They tore their garments and rushed out into the crowd, crying out, "May I bring you good news that you should turn from these vain things to a living God." He allowed all the nations to walk in their own ways, yet he did not leave himself without wit in your hearts with food and gladness. Even with these words, they scarcely restrain. Here they are. They perform this miracle. How is it that they were going to respond to that? How is it that the worst thing and the best thing that can test a man is success? See that? How were they going to handle that? We were men just like you, sinners just like you. These are the things that we're proclaiming and telling you and teaching you and exhorting you. And you're worshiping the wrong things and in worshiping them. How are they to handle that? Verse 19, but Jews stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing that he was dead. Apparently, they came after him. They weren't. He may have been done. Convinced some of those people who were unbelievers, and they took him, and they stoned him, leaving him for dead. Verse 20, but when the disciples with Barnabas to Derbe, when they had preached the gospel to that city and had made many disciples, they had appointed elders for them in every church with prayer and fasting. They committed them to the Lord here to San Bernardino. Now, can you imagine in Corona, just this uprising caught up with me and they stoned me? I mean, rocks. The inclination, of course, would be to go back into the city. Paul's a warrior. Not only that, no takers. I mean, today it's like, hey, you want to be a pastor? And like, yeah. Now go to other countries and go from being a Muslim, right? United States, we don't see that. But Paul, how did he have, needed to pour God's word out and strengthen and build up the church? And asking that question. I remember being in boot camp in like the first week when my spirit leapt before I did. And I got there. Many of the leaders, even in today's time, no, it's a battle. It is an absolute battle. Who turn willingly and go in the opposite direction. But God's hearts are loyal to him, right? Not to any man, but are loyal to him. Paul was used in a mighty way. It was only by God's Spirit, by his strength, that he can was glory. He understood it was to be used, to be poured out for Jesus Christ. That's how we live our Christianity, our faith, was such an example by God's grace. He taught the word, and even when he was rocked, he had that bulldog mentality of Christianity. Verses 12 and 15. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3, verses 12 through 15. Verse 12, indeed, all who desire to live a godly life in Christ Jesus will be persecuted, deceiving and being deceived. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have firmly believed, knowing from whom you learned it and how from childhood you have been acquainted with the spiritual hardiness. To remain spiritually strong and healthy, to have been taught in what you have learned, in what you know, wise for salvation. To grow strong, believe up to this point. It's not enough just to gain the information. Tell these all to you that to show and to demonstrate. And yet you're not living it out yourself. Yeah, you fellowship. You can even look very, well, very spiritual and praying, living it out. You're not exercising that spiritual muscle of faith. Because the spiritual strength and health of the Christian depends on, is able to make you wise for salvation. Now, as we look at salvation, surrender to him and we repent of our sins. Not only that, but wise for productive, which are divisive. Wise for salvation. To the division of soul and spirit, of joints and of marrow, and discerning the thoughts and intent, think, wow, you know, I was thinking one thing and praying in another, and right now he knew exactly what, not what I was thinking, but actually the only then that we can repent. It's only then when we can turn light to my path. Psalm 119, 97 and 98 says, "Oh, how I love your law. It is my meditation all with me." I saw this picture and I thought it was a picture of someone jumping over a fence. It's like, oh, I'm so tired of being constrained by this fence that's right here. You're keeping me from going over to the other side. And as he's jumping the guardrail, and he's going over and down the cliff. What is God's word to you? Or in yourself? And the only way that you will be spiritually strong and healthy as a follower, what you know. As soon as Paul surrendered to Jesus on the road, he knew and believed to be the truth according to time. First, the Lord met him on the road to Damascus. And by the way, he was going to Damascus to basically those of the faith, the way, Christians. Okay? So they fell, and he surrendered his life to Christ, and it was disciples at Damascus, and immediately he proclaimed Jesus in the synagogues, saying, "He is the Son of God." Many days before that. And all who heard him were amazed and said, "This name, and has he not come here for this purpose to bring them founded the Jews who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ?" It was just, he was going to persecute. Jesus showed up preaching. And he is explaining to people, this is Jesus Christ. And he was teaching immediately what and who he knew and believed to be the truth. Who lived in Damascus by proving that Jesus was the Christ. So spiritual endurance, spiritual competence. Let's go back to 2 Timothy chapter 3. "It's breathed out by God and profitable for teaching, for reproof, for correction, and for training in righteousness that the man of God may be..." It's the very breath of God. God, or is Scripture the Word of God? Scripture is the Word of God. Those are two very important distinctions that we have to make and contain is, we're going to go ahead and interpret it however we want to interpret it. Go ahead and take and remove and interpret. It's profitable. That's what we just read. The question is, do you teaching you, rebuking you, correcting you, and training you in righteousness? He has heard of, personally seen, and experienced how Paul was foremost in serving to lead Timothy. You notice that Paul didn't just say, "Hey, but you, however, you need to live out that which you have firmly believed." He led him and he pointed back to the Word of God. Do you believe this? If you don't believe that Scripture is a verb, much less teach it. So that's why I come in. Because we may quickly, without even everyday life, we fail to demonstrate that. Every breath of God. It makes one competent. It's and yet, we don't believe these to be God's truth. "Then you will continue in what you have learned and firmly believed for every good work." You will continue to persevere in the faith. You will have to not be a sunshine patriot, to not be a summer soldier, but to continue moving. Paul gives us an example of not exceeding God. You can jot that down, and that way you can read it on your own. But he gives an example of never intending to supersede or to exceed that we see here. Spiritual endurance, spiritual hardiness, and spiritual competence. We all desire. There was full disclosure. I love the Bible because it gives full defense up. But he'll also tell you on the other side, it's not just a fence, it's a guardrail. You're in idolatry. Okay? You're going in the wrong direction. And by the way, if you continue going in this direction, judgment. And so it's not like that cartoon to where the little guy said, "Oh, this is a fence, and so I'm on the other side." And yet what's odd is that we as people... "No, really, it's a cliff. I don't think so. Nah. Really?
Yeah.
Not handle a 300-foot dive to the bottom of the Grand Canyon. But we tend to do that, don't we? It's like the signs are there. You're like competent and all that. And so we read it, but then we go. And then we become a sunshine patriot. The company of warriors for a time. But when actual crisis strikes, lay down. James 4:8, God, and he will draw near to you. That's his promise. To Colossians chapter 1. I love fighting with warriors. I do. And from baseball, I got bruises today. And from baseball, softball, but what a glory of God, right? And it's like, it's hard for me to give. My wife came to the dugout right after the game. She says, "You're in trouble." I know I'm in trouble because I wasn't moving too well out there. Like, well, I don't know anything else. I really don't. But I want to be like, you know, he said, "Imitate me as I imitate Christ." Right? Hit over the head with rocks, left to die, went back and back, and knew the Lord was with him. He was there strengthening him, and he knew God's promises were true. 100%. This is my prayer for us, church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 9. "Today we heard, we have not ceased to pray for you, asking understanding, so as to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, full increasing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all joy, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified you to share in the inheritance, transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption." Let's pray. Father, we so thank you. We so thank you for just all that you down to us by your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray, Lord, that we would not ever lose sight of that moment that you lifted all our burdens and righteousness. And that we had the certainty at that. Let us never lose sight of that. I mind for the rest of his days, that moment, an enemy, that you met him right to be a proclaimer of the gospel, the good news of the very grace that you poured out for him. Lord, I pray that we would never take salvation for granted. I pray, Lord, that we would understand what it is to live a life completely surrendered to you. Will we be forsaken by others? Yes. Will we be persecuted? Yes. Will we face trials? Yes. And yet through it all, your word says that you will never leave us nor forsake us, that you love us every single moment of every single day. And even when we fail, you are there to lift us up. I pray, Lord, that there would be no sunshine patriots, but that we would persevere in our faith, trusting you to sustain us with every breath. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.